So, Hare Krishna, everybody. Very nice to see you again. Yeah, it's been easier. So, I would like to... Actually, last year I was already here to give a seminar on Krishna Lila. And at the end of that seminar, I felt it would be very good to speak about a specific topic on Krishna Lila. And this topic is connected to the demons in Krishna Lila, and which obstacles they represent in our spiritual life. So I would like to start this lecture by expressing my gratitude first of all to His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada for his Krishna book and translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I took a lot of information from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, who gave also seminars on this topic. Madhavananda Prabhu from Bhubaneswar also wrote a full magazine connected especially to Putana, which will be actually the first demon, the demon for today. I got inspiration from Sarata Darshini, from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Anyway, many, many different sources are actually today condensed into this seminar. I think, I don't think we will be able to cover the entire pastime in one time. I think we will need two times to... That's quite a rich pastime that is happening with Putana. But I would like to start a little bit with a very short introduction about actually the necessity to hear about Krishna, to hear about Krishna pastimes, especially Krishna's pastimes. We know, we have heard in many, many lectures about the necessity of Shravanam, of hearing. And actually Srila Prabhupada wanted very much that we would hear about Krishna. Therefore, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, he introduced the reading of Krishna book in every temple as the evening sadhana. Because he knew whatever you put in your mind before going to bed, you will go in the night with what is in your mind. So it's actually very beneficial to hear about Krishna in the evening. And actually, by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, one will be able to awake some type of feelings toward Krishna. And actually, a relationship with a person necessitates to have feelings. Without feelings, one cannot experience a relationship. Therefore, if we want to actually develop our relationship with Krishna, there is the necessity to develop feelings toward this person, toward Krishna. And by hearing about these pastimes, one will be able to feel sometimes anxiety, what will happen to Krishna, or joy, or different emotion that will come, and that actually transcendental emotion, because they are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, this Krishna book, it's actually a special gift from Srila Prabhupada to us. That was one of the first book that he published for us. And that's actually the perfect instrument for us to remember Krishna. And we all know that we have a lot of rules and regulations, but they are all there to help us to come to one root, one essence. And this essence is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So if we have the pastimes of Krishna, then it's much more easy to remember him. Even without name, without form, without pastimes, how difficult it must be to be God conscious. But when we have all those bases, like the pastimes, the name, the form of Krishna, then one can actually much easily absorb one's consciousness into Krishna. And then it becomes Krishna consciousness. One becomes conscious of Krishna. So Krishna consciousness or Krishna Lila is actually the food for our highest aspiration in life. And this is the perfect means to satisfy the heart. Now there are two different types of Lila that Krishna is doing. There are the Nitya Lila that Krishna is doing, especially in the spiritual world, and the Naimittika Lila, that means occasional pastimes that Krishna is doing here in this earth planet when he's coming. So they are very similar, but there are some small differences. For example, in Nitya Lila, in the eternal pastimes, Krishna do not take birth. Or he do not leave Vrindavan. Or he actually do not kill demons in the Nitya Lila. But these are pastimes that Krishna is doing specially in this earth. And to give us some teaching. Actually, those things also exist in the Nitya Lila, in the eternal, but it exists in a form of, it's just a rumor. We hear about it, but we never see really. For example, there are sometimes rumors that there are demons, and everyone become a little frightened. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained that sometimes through the arrangement of Purnamasi, who is actually the person who is controlling all the pastimes, someone put a billboard with a big billboard with the picture of a demon on it. And suddenly coming out of the forest, everyone see that picture of the demon and everyone think, that's a demon, let's go and take shelter of Krishna. So in the spiritual world, they are not really demons, but the rumor is there so that the devotee can come together and take shelter of Krishna. So those killing demons pastimes, those pastimes when Krishna is killing demons, are actually very important for practicing sadhakas, actually for us, for devotees on the path of Krishna consciousness. Because all those demons represent a special obstacle, a special anatta, a special material contamination that is in the heart of the devotees. And actually by hearing about those pastimes, one will be able to uproot those anatta or to help them come out. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning that actually the sadhaka should daily petition the Lord so that he will help him take out those obstacles. Anyone of you prayed today to the Lord so that he will take his unwanted stuff out of the heart? Actually, that's also very good to do that when we chant Nishingadev prayer. That's very, very favorable to ask also for Nishingadev for that help. But that shows that sometimes we are not so much aware of the obstacles that are on our path. And even if sometimes we are a little aware of them, we don't feel it's such a big problem. Huh? We feel, okay, it's okay. I'm here, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. That's enough. But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that one should daily pray to the Lord, please, please help me to remove those anatta from my heart. We know we have a certain part we can do from our own, like a good sadhana, a good spiritual practice that will help this cleaning of the heart. But most of all, it's by Krishna's strength, by Krishna's mercy, that we will be able actually to take away those obstacles. But Srila Prabhupada mentioned, as soon as we reach the stage of anatta nivritti, as soon as we come to the stage where those material contamination are eradicated from our heart, then spiritual life becomes so easy. Then the devotee actually becomes firmly attached to the Lord. There is nothing else actually that can divert him from the Lord. And then it's just going very fast. And to spiritual perfection. So actually we should think of those issues, and we should pray to the Lord so that He come and remove those obstacles from our heart. So after Krishna took birth on this planet Earth, few months after he was there, the first demon, the demon of Putana, called Putana, was ordered by Kamsa to find out where Krishna was. Kamsa represents materialism, we could say like this, with a big major M. He also represents very astonishingly the religious institution. This I will speak that tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. In 1 week, when actually today I want to cover most of all the Leela part, and next week we will speak more in detail about the Anatta particularly, and how we can uproot that, and how everything is related. So, as the main person for materialism, Kamsa is very afraid of seeing spiritual truth coming, and he knows about Krishna, so immediately he wants to block that, and he knows now Krishna is just a young boy, he just took birth, so now is the best moment to try to kill him. So he's sending Putana, and he is asking Putana to kill all the boy and to capture all the girl she will find. Now, most of those demons, they have a previous life. That explains a little bit why they are in this proper, in this very life, like a demon. And Putana, in her previous life, was the sister of Bali Maharaj. I think we are all a little bit familiar with the pastimes of Ramanadev and Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was a very big king, and one day the Supreme Lord, in the disguise of a small dwarf, came to him, and he was actually very young. Ramanadev was like 5 years old. He was very beautiful, very cute, very tender, and he came to Bali Maharaj to ask him for some blessings, to ask him actually some dakshin, to ask him a donation. He was a king, and Brahmanadev came like a brahmana. And the sister of Bali Maharaj, her name was Ratnamala. When she saw Brahmanadev, she saw Brahmanadev, this young brahmana, she just felt so much love in her heart, so much attraction. Whenever we see somebody who is very young, very cute, unprotected, one immediately feels a desire to serve, a desire to take care. So Ratnamala had the same desire when she saw Ramanadev, and she prayed, "Oh, let me once become the mother of that young person." And here it's a very interesting point that comes up. When the living entity develops this desire to serve the Lord, this genuine desire inside of the heart, I want to please the Lord, I want to do something for Him, it is immediately accepted, even before the action can be accomplished. Do you know that? Sometimes you feel a desire to serve, and then some material desire just comes through, and you just forget about it. But Krishna will make sure that we will be able in the future to fulfill our desire. So in other words, those desire to serve the Lord are actually very, very important. And when one can actually generate those desire to please the Lord, then that's it. That's done. That's already done. Although it still had to be done in a physical way, but the Lord accepts it, and the Lord will arrange for that. And that's actually what the Lord will do for Ratnamala. Now, as the story continues, Bali Maharaj asks, "What do you want to Vamanadev, to this dwarf? What do you want for Dakshin? And the Vamanadeva said, I want just three steps. And the king said, but ask me more. Three steps of land. And the king said, but ask me for more. Why you ask such a small things? Anyway, finally, it was a trick. And Vamanadeva, with the first step, covered the entire earth. The second step, the whole universe. And then he asked Bali, you promised me three steps. Where do I put my third step? Bali Maharaj was a devotee and said, you just place it on my head. I offer myself totally to you. Now, there were blessings in disguise. I don't want to enter too much into the detail. But externally, it looks that Vamanadeva had really tricked Bali Maharaj. And when Ratnamala, the sister of Bali, saw that, she felt, my God, you have done such things to my brother. Yes, one day I want to be your mother and feed you milk, but I will also feed you poison because of this offense you did to my brother. So therefore, she came in her next life as Putana. There is also, we hear also about Putana in a book which is called Lalita Madhava from Rupa Goswami. It's actually a drama that was written by Rupa Goswami. And I would like to speak a little bit of this drama in the beginning and a little bit at the end. It's a little bit a mixture of the pastime coming from different sources. So I hope you can follow the stream. But it explains actually what did Putana when she was on her way to Braj, to Vrindavan. So every one of you knows the Himalayan mountains. And the daughter of the Himalaya is Parvati, the wife of Shiva. There is another mountain, a holy mountain, which is called the Mount Vidya. And the Mount Vidya was envious of the Himalaya. And the Mount Vidya performed austerities in order, and the goal of the austerities was, I want to have a son-in-law which is stronger than Shiva. And the son-in-law of the Himalaya, the wife of Parvati, was Shiva. So after those, by doing those austerity, actually mystically, two young ladies who were in the womb of their mother in Braj, Radharani and Chandravali, were moved from the womb of their mothers to the womb of the Mount Vindhya. And then, when they took birth, there was a big ceremony for their arrival in the earth, and at that time, Putana came and tried to capture them. And when Putana took those ladies and other ladies that were also there, Putana took Lalita, Bhadra, Sabya, Shabya, or something like this, Bhadra. She took many of those girls. She had this instruction by Kamsa, you have to kidnap those girls. But when she flew away in the sky, actually the priest of the Vidya mountains, the Yagya was going on, he chanted a killing demon mantra. And Putana became frightened and dropped Chandravali down and flew away. So at the end of the pastimes, we will come back to this small episode and we will get some other very interesting details. So just remember for now that on her way to Braj, Putana had kidnapped actually very young girl that were actually very special persons. So Putana, she was a witch. She was actually flying on a piece of root, of a root of a tree. She could sit on it and just fly. I think we all have seen in our young age a witch, but they were on broomstick. That's the Western speculation about witches. But in India, or maybe in some other country, the witch will fly in the sky while sitting on the root of a special tree. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this is still practiced nowadays in Northwest India. So if you are in Northwest India, watch out. So she looked like a mendicant. She had like matted hair that was in disarray. She had sharp teeth and she was very cruel. She could eat young children like any brahmachari could devour a plate of halava. I'm sorry, I missed a little bit the chronology. I had to come a little earlier. Actually, before she would arrive in Braj, Vasudev, who was in Mathura, the real father of... Yeah, it's always, always tricky. But let's say like this, the father of Krishna, he had brought Krishna in Braj, and now 3 months had passed. And Vasudev was thinking, what is happening with my Krishna? How is he doing? So he wrote a letter to Nanda Maharaj and he said, please come very soon in Mathura. You anyway have to come to pay your taxes to Krishna, to Kamsa. I want to speak with you. I want to hear from you how is it happening with Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj went there and spoke with Vasudev, explained him everything, how Krishna had been saved and protected. Nobody knew that he was there. And then Vasudev told him, actually, I feel you should go back as soon as possible to Braj. Something bad could happen to child Krishna. Something inauspicious could happen. Don't delay. Just go. So Nanda Maharaj was walking and he was thinking, why? It's so amazing that Vasudev told me those things. And he became anxious. I'm not there to protect Krishna. And what if he's true? What if what he's saying is true? Now, it is written that being anxious, Nanda Maharaj took shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was actually Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that actually that's the sign of an advanced person. An advanced person understands that there is danger at every step of our life. At any moment, dangers can come. And therefore, a person which is advanced spiritually, he will actually all the time take shelter in the Lord, knowing that those dangers are there all the time. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that actually, more one becomes advanced, more he will take shelter. Sometimes we feel it's the opposite, huh? Isn't it? More we advance, more strong we become, less we have to take shelter. But actually, that's the opposite. As more one advances, as more one actually becomes aware of the necessity to take shelter of Krishna at any time, at any moment. So that was the mood of Nanda Maharaj. Let me take shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I come back to our Putana, who is flying on the stick. I gave already the description. I don't go through again. But this story is actually being told by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit in Srimad Bhagavatam. So now I bring the story in that frame of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit is listening from Shukadev Goswami about what is happening. He's listening like all of you. You are actually in this story of Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, you can imagine that Chaitanya, you are Maharaj Parikshit. And somehow I'm on the Vyasasan, so I'm like Shukadev Goswami. And all of you are like the sages that are also here. And you are all hearing that story of Putana. Okay? And now, when Shukadev Goswami is speaking about Putana arriving in Braj, Maharaj Parikshit become afraid, become very disturbed. What will happen now? What will happen to Putana, to Krishna? Putana is coming. And then Shukadev Goswami tell a verse by, and he said, the verse said, when devotional service is performed, no bad influence or danger can take place. So Shukadev Goswami understand, oh Maharaj Parikshit, he is living, he is feeling for Krishna, so I have to pacify him by telling him wherever there is devotional service going on, no witch or no danger can really appear. Can you follow? Now that shows us how we are supposed to hear about Krishna's pastime. Maharaj Parikshit is giving us the proper example. He's totally absorbed into what is going to happen. He is feeling, my God, Putana is going now to Vrindavan. What will happen for Krishna? And that shows us actually how we should hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna. We should not just think, yeah, they are just stories that happened very long time ago. No, we should try to feel, we should try to enter into the dimension of the pastimes. There is another example in Srimad Bhagavatam when Shukadev Goswami is giving descriptions of the gopis in Vrindavan. So Maharaj Parikshit is listening, and Shukadev Goswami can actually see in his mind the eternal pastime. So he explained how the autumn season is coming to Braj, how the wind is carrying the fragrance of the lotuses, how the birds are chirping all around, the bees are also there. And then he said that Krishna is playing on his flute. And when Krishna plays on his flute, the gopis, the love in the heart of the gopis start to grow and grow and grow. And they want to glorify Krishna. They want to speak about Krishna. But they are so much moved that they are speechless. They cannot express themselves. And Shukadev Goswami is seeing that scene. So he starts to speak on their behalf. He starts to glorify Krishna entering in the forest of Vrindavan. And that's another instance when the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually having Shakshat Darshan, is actually seeing the eternal pastimes right in front of his eyes. Of course, we are not at all there, but that shows us how divine the pastimes of Krishna can be, and how they can actually absorb us into the spiritual dimension. So when Putana was entering Braj, she was a little bit anxious. She was a little bit fearing that something will not go as well as some other places. So she decided, I need to disguise myself. She had a lot of mystic power, so she transformed herself into the most beautiful lady. She had Malika flowers on her hair, and that was surrounding her beautiful visage. She had shining earrings. She had a lotus on her hand. She smiled so attractively that everyone in Braj, when they saw her, became enchanted, and especially the men. Now, when a terrorist wants to do his action, he will do that in a way that nobody noticed him. And that was actually Putana's way. She did not want anyone to recognize. And when someone can enter a place where no one noticed them, then he can create the strongest disaster or havoc And that was what Putana was ready to do by entering in that disguise. No one could recognize her. Everyone was thinking, wow, she's so beautiful. She looked like the goddess of fortune. Maybe it's Lakshmi. She came to see our Krishna. They were all very, very happy to see her. They were overwhelmed by her beauty. And that shows us also that material beauty can make one blind. Sometimes a very beautiful woman can be very dangerous because everyone will just be so attracted. But if she has ill intention, that can be dangerous. And that was the case for Putana. She entered the house and she was very fixed. Her glance was just fixed. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? She was just moving in the house and nobody would try to stop her. There were guards there. Everyone let her in. The nurses also let her in. I mean, at that time, it's good also to know that many ladies would give their milk to the children, and especially to Krishna. Many ladies from Vrindavan would like to come and give also their milk to Krishna. So it was a custom. So it was not very special that Putana could enter like this, and she was also so beautiful. And she had also mystic powers. She would also use her mystic power so that nobody would notice or would recognize her. But in another dimension, the yoga maya, the lila shakti of the Lord, was allowing the pastimes to go like this. But actually, Putana was invited in Braj by her death. Putana went to Yasoda and she spoke to Yasoda. She said, Yasoda, you are so hard-hearted. You have so many duties. You are doing so many things and you let your child baby on the bed. I love so much your child. I have so much affection. My breast is flowing with milk. Please allow me to to give my milk to Krishna. And then she said, when Krishna will, your son will drink my milk, he will get a new body. It's so auspicious. I'm so full of love. Please allow me to give my milk to him. So Yasoda allow, and Putana enter into the most intimate, the most inner room where Krishna was. And then she had a look at Krishna. And when she saw Krishna, she saw that this person had unlimited powers. She saw that this person could destroy the entire universe. She saw that this person could destroy all demons and herself included. But at the same time, this boy looked so cute and so helpless and so young. Just a few months. Isn't it how sometimes Maya is also tricking us? Sometimes you are also a little bit like Putana. We know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that He is all the time seeing us. We know what we are supposed to do and supposed to not do. But still, we don't mind, and we don't. Sometimes our intelligence is covered. So in the same way, Putana was looking at that small boy, and she knew who he was, she knew what he could do, but because of her demoniac tendency in her heart, it covered her intelligence, and she kept on her plan to kill Krishna. Putana took baby Krishna on her lap, like one person will take a snake on her lap, thinking that it's a rope. Actually, when Putana looked at Krishna, it seemed that it was a big fire that was just covered by ashes, that one could not really see. Externally, she behaved gentle like a mother, and she even had some genuine feeling toward Krishna, some affectionate feeling, but she was fixed into her goal of killing Krishna. So Krishna looked at her and was a little bit perplexed. He understood she don't have the proper intention, but still she come to offer me something. So I want to accept. Although what she want to offer me is maybe not the most pleasurable thing, but still she come to give something to me, so I will accept it. There was once a sadhu who was doing madhukari, who was going house to house to ask for some food. And in one house, the lady gave him ashes. That's for you. And the sadhu said, oh, thank you. And the lady said, but you are not disturbed. I give you ashes instead of food. And the sadhu said, no, you already give me something. That's already very, very good. You start to become good just by giving ashes. Today you give me ashes, and tomorrow you will give me cash. Cash, anyway. So in the same way, Krishna was thinking, although she don't have the proper intention, but at least she come to give me something. So I will accept what she want to give me. Then Krishna closed his eyes. And there are four reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. First of all, Krishna felt a little bit sorry. He felt, well, that's a demon, I will have to kill her, and that's a lady, and she's coming like a mother. What to say about killing one's mother? It's really, really not good. So he just closed his eyes because of that. The other reason, Krishna knew that she had killed so many children before, and therefore he just did not want to look at her. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when we look at newspaper or magazines, often we will see picture of demons. They are demons of nowadays. But just by seeing those faces, we will be influenced in our consciousness toward demoniac activities. So in the same way, Krishna, when he saw this demoness coming, he just closed his eyes. I don't want to see her. He also closed his eyes to give assurance to Putana, like to tell her, don't worry, everything will go on good. Don't worry. And the fourth reason why Krishna closed his eyes, he understood she is going to do now something very inauspicious. And my glance is just bringing everything auspicious. So it will not fit. Better I close my eyes. Putana, like I was saying, she was outwardly acting like a mother, full of affection, but inside she was cruel. Thus, she was like a sharp knife that was put around a soft cloth. Then, this dangerous demon gave her breast to Krishna and put the nipple in Krishna's mouth. On her breast, she has smeared the most efficient, most intense poison so that Krishna will be killed immediately. And all the Brajvasis were looking at that and they were in ecstasy. Look, this beautiful lady. Look, Lakshmi is going now to give her milk to our Krishna. And at that time, Krishna started to squeeze and squeeze so strongly and terribly her breast, and started to suck first the poison, then her milk, and then he was on the way to suck her very life. With his feet, he started to beat on Putana's body. And Putana was trying to push this baby away, but could not. He was so strongly pressing, and it was terrible. It's a very sensitive part for the woman. And Putana was really, she had to leave. She could not put Krishna away. She just stood up and ran out of the house. And she started to scream, "Child, leave me! Child, leave me!" And she was screaming so loud that the hearth started to tremble. The sound was going all around. It was terrible scene. And then when the Brajbasi heard that voice, they felt like thunders were flowing from the sky. They all put themselves on the floor. What catastrophe was going to happen now? And then Putana fell dead on the ground. Actually, there is, when Krishna was purifying Putana, she was actually flailing. Any one of you knows this word, flailing? Flailing means to move like this in the air. She was flailing with her hands and with her legs. That was quite a graphic example. Then Putana opened, I was in the intensity of saying the lila, I lost few details that are also still good to hear. Actually, when she fell on the floor, Putana had her mouth open, and she spread her arms, legs, and hairs also, and she fell down in the pasturing ground. And that's interesting that Jiva Goswami is mentioning that a part of her fell on the pleasurable garden of Kamsa. Actually, when she had to take her actual form, I don't know if I say that, but the pain was so strong, she had to reassume her form of a witch. And then she took a very, very, very huge form that was, I don't remember the dimension, but few kilometers. That was quite a big form. So a part of her fell on the trees in the garden of Kamsa. She had, now that she was on the floor, her hairs were like copper color. The socket of her eyes appear like wells. Her fearful thighs resemble the bank of a river, and her abdomen appear like a dried up lake. All the Brajbasis had been already shocked by the screaming of Putana, and now they were wondering what happened. They also heard the sound when Putana came on the floor, so they were wondering what is happening in Braj. Did a mountain fall? So Krishna was still on the chest of Putana, and he was playing there. It is described that her breast was like two hills and was a suitable place for playing. So Krishna was there, and Krishna was not at all disturbed by what had happened. But the Brajbasis were looking all around, where is Krishna? Yasoda and Rohini had fainted, and the Brajbasis were running around to look for Krishna. At that time, when Putana fell on the floor, the lady that Putana had kidnapped, that we heard in the beginning, reappeared on Putana's body. And Purnamasi, seeing that scene of those ladies that had been kidnapped, were there also on the body of Putana, she immediately jumped up on the body of Putana and took down those ladies.
Lady or children?
Actually, children. Children. Yeah, they were very, very, very young children. Girls. Yeah. So Purnamasi went on the body of Putana and took away those young girls and gave them secretly to different families in Braj. Now, when the Brajvasi saw Krishna, they immediately took him down, the body of Putana, and they ran back to the house of Nanda Maharaj in the secret corner. And there they saw that Yasoda and Rohini were still completely, they had fainted, they were still completely unconscious. So they put Krishna on the lap of Yasoda. And when Yasoda felt Krishna on her lap, she could come back to her senses. And she cried and she cried and she cried. What had happened? Then they offered an arati to Krishna. They chanted some special mantras to protect the baby Krishna. And then Yasoda gave her milk to Krishna. And Krishna was drinking and drinking. And that's a good sign. Srila Prabhupada mentioned, when the child is drinking the milk from his mother, it's the sign that the child feels totally secure. Krishna was thinking. I'm really sorry. I went too fast than my notes. But Krishna, when Putana was on the floor, Krishna was thinking, well, if someone give milk, if a mother give milk, this milk is life for the child. So now I drank the milk and I took her life. So what's the problem? I'm not in fault. Krishna was thinking like this. So when Nanda Maharaj came back from Mathura, he was really frightened to see what had happened. When he saw this huge form of Putana laying on the floor, he just started to lament it. And then he said, oh my God, Vasudev, it must be really such a great devotee that he could see in the future what would happen. And then he was thinking, why was I not there to protect my child? Why did the guardian did not act and avoid such a things to happen? But everything was ending in a proper way. Krishna was saved and protected now. So the Brajvasi decided to cut down the body of Putana and to burn it. It must have been quite a task because the body was really big. It is said that sometimes a snake which had died can be coming back to life just by the touch of oxygen. So whenever a snake is dead, they immediately cut it and burn it. So in the same way, the Brajvasi thought, let's not wait that suddenly the body of Putana come back to life. Let's cut it and burn it. But now, because something very special happened when they burned the body of Putana, the smell of the body was smelling like aguru, which is actually a mixture of very saintly herbs. And that's a very, very beautiful fragrance, the fragrance of aguru. So when they burned the body of that demoness, there was this beautiful, wonderful fragrance of aguru that was coming in the air. And that was because she had been totally purified by the touch of Krishna. Krishna had sucked out everything all of her impurities, and now her body was like totally pure, and thus this smell was coming. The Brajbasi were thinking, from where is the smell coming? Is it coming from Indraloka? And since, even for a few months later, this smell was all the time pervading Braj, that everyone who would come to Braj would ask, but where, from where is that wonderful fragrance is coming? Srila Prabhupada gave also some comments on this pastime, and one of them is, he's saying, somehow, if you try to serve Krishna, even if you have a bad intention, Krishna will surely accept that service. Krishna is so kind. So why should we serve anybody else than Krishna? So I have few, so here ends the pastimes of Krishna killing the first demon who had come to Braj, the demon Putana. And he who hears with faith the childhood pastimes of Krishna and the liberation of Putana and takes them as the most astonishing attains attraction for Govinda. That's the blessings that is given at the end of the pastimes by Shukadev Goswami. So I have like 4 or 5 more pages about the meaning of the Leela and also about the amazing mercy of Lord Krishna and what position did he give to Putana. So that's, I think for today it's, I want to stop here. I also did not prepare so well the last part, so I will not be able to present it so well, because it's really a vast topic. It's not just, okay, the demon represent this anatta and that's it. But there are really deep issues in our spiritual life, in the way we practice. So I would like to stop here, and next time I will go make a fast going through the Leela again, like 10 minutes, and then we will give more attention on the teaching of the Leela. So I don't think it will make sense to ask for questions now, because the main part of the teaching will come for next week. But still, maybe there are some questions related to the Leela. And if not, I would like to ask you about what you remember. I would like now to engage you. What do you remember from the past times? What were the details that maybe moved you or touched you or amused you, or what is staying with you? The idea now is that we churn the nectar. We repeat, we try to remember. We have heard. Now we want to use smaranam, remembrance of what we have heard, so that actually the pastime itself can go a little bit deeper. In Vrindavan there are schools who teach Bhagavat, who teach the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they learn all the verses by heart, and they learn to recite them from beginning to end and from end to beginning. And all chapter from beginning to end, end to beginning. And they just turn the verse so much in their mind, that actually what they are studying become life. They see in their daily life what they are studying. And in the same way, one should study those pastimes, and one should actually absorb our consciousness into that, so that it become actually part of our life. And Srila Prabhupada himself was saying, if we regularly listen about the pastimes of Krishna, and especially Krishna book, we will see Krishna everywhere. We will see Krishna in everything we are doing. We will be able to relay our daily life with actually the pastimes of Krishna. So therefore, I think it's a very good exercise to try to remember, to make what you have heard now in a more condensed way, in a more living way inside of you. And I can tell you, just to compile that, I spent so many hours just to absorb my mind in those topics, and I could just feel even on the physical level how it was purifying, how it was bringing the consciousness in such a deep level. So now I would like to give you the time also for speaking, and please tell me just whatever comes to your mind, whatever you remember or moved you, or please don't be shy. We are in a small group, we are like in the families. Yeah, Shell.
I like the example you gave. Like outside Putana, she was acting like a mother, but inside her intention was really evil.
Mm.
And you gave the nice example from a knife and the clothes.
Mm.
I think it's very
nice to remember. Yeah. Thank you. It was very poetic.
There's the opposition of life and death, and also the surprising changes, exchanges of them. Like milk is life-giving, but it's supposed to give death. And the one who is supposed to die will live and takes life away, and the one who was supposed to survive him will finally die. But I suppose that in her next incarnation it's just the way for a better life.
Very good. Yeah.
And this also relativizes our clear-cut distinction between life and death.
Mm.
Because our soul transcends them with the help of Krishna.
Yeah, that's very important to keep that in mind. So that in the transcendental level, actually, there is no death. That everything is eternal. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
What was moving my heart was that Krishna can be so heavy if he wants to purify us or like in this case, Pula. And my thoughts came that the more demonic
the more painful Krishna can be, the more heavy Krishna can be,
to actually help us.
Very good. Actually, Krishna was showing a lot of anger when he killed Putana. Then Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Krishna was not angry because she had come to kill him, but he was angry at her because she had killed already so many children. Therefore, he was so angry at her. And we have to understand that those demoniac tendency, those anattas inside of us, they are really things we have to rid ourselves, to take away from ourselves. And we might know, okay, some are difficult issue, and It will be necessary that I will get some pain to remove that. Some pain will be there to remove those anatta. But what we can know is that Krishna will use our karma. He will use the pain that we are bound to receive because of our bad action. And he will use that specific karma to take away our anattas. So that means without Krishna consciousness, you just suffer because of your action, and that's it. But in Krishna consciousness, you get the suffering of your action, but that frees you from those tendencies. And even then, the pain that you are getting when you are practicing spiritual life, they are reduced a lot in comparison to what we are supposed to receive. So it's win-win. You win in all sides. But sometimes one might feel good. I'm getting purified. Jai Ho. let's please Krishna, I don't try to defend, I don't try to protect myself, here I am, please take it out. Like the devotee feel, I don't want to delay. Even if it's painful, I don't want to say, no, no, not yet. Later. No, please do it now. That's, it's not always easy. I know that. But when Krishna is giving the mercy to take away those things, I think it's really good if we get the strength and the clarity of mind to understand first of all that Krishna beyond, and then to let him do. Because actually when we understand Krishna is beyond that, then it's much easier to let him do. But often we think it's providence, or it's not right, or things like this. And then we fight against. We don't allow. Once I was asking a devotee, Prabhu, how can we become free from false ego? And this devotee told me, you have to pray very sincerely to Krishna that he comes and break down your false ego. But when he comes, let him do. And when he does it, don't try to fix your ego again at the end. Let it go. Let it really go. So that implies that we first of all come to that point of understanding, I have those obstacles in my heart and I want to become free of them. And then praying from that. And then Krishna will do. And then we become lighter, we become happier. And Krishna consciousness become easy, easier and easier and easier. That we are able to take shelter and to be all the time with Krishna. So it's not, it might be painful, but it's good. Yeah? Sorry, after. Du kannst in Deutsch sagen. Ja, ja. Can you repeat the question?
It's a terrible meaning that she fell on this tree and garden.
Yeah. There is a special meaning there, and there is also that was quoted by Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami give another very interesting detail. He's saying that all the children that Putana had killed before were actually all in family of demons, friends of Kamsa. And then this will be elaborated a little more next time, but he is explaining that although Putana was a demon, but she was also used by Krishna for some services, some special services to kill those demons. So there was something behind that. We will. There is some place for that for the next week lecture. Yeah.
What I remember, you say Krishna accept the desire to serve, and he arranged opportunity to do the service if our material desires move us away. And I have a question, how to generate these desires from heart or to ego. How to generate these desires that it comes from heart?
Krishna is all attractive, and when you can connect your activities you are doing externally in a mood of prayer toward Krishna, then the service you are doing, because you are a devotee, you are engaged in devotional service, so the service you might do now, it's maybe mechanical, you might not have maybe so much desire, deep desire, I want to please Krishna. But you are doing this service. So to move from mechanical service to feeling service, practicing the service while thinking of Krishna, then you have to add the element of prayer. While you practice the service, you pray to Krishna. You speak to Krishna. You tell him, oh, my dear Krishna, I'm here, I'm in the temple, I'm not so happy right now, but I want to serve you. Please allow me to do that. You just pray so that you can come to that stage. Pray so that you can have this desire, this sincere desire. Then it will come. There could be many different answers. By hearing about him, by being with devotees, that is bound to happen. Because Krishna is all attractive. So whenever you connect your consciousness with Krishna, you will feel something in your heart. And this will bring out this genuine desire. I really want to serve you, Krishna. That's really what I'm meant for. That's really what I want in my life. I want to serve you. So that will be generated in devotees' association by hearing about Krishna. And the first things I was saying, pray for that. Pray to Krishna. Whatever you do, use prayer. And then you move from mechanical service to feeling service, to real devotional service, when you include the element of prayer. That's, by the way, from Satvarup Maharaj is mentioning that in the book Vaishnava Compassion. Very, very valuable information of how to come from mechanical service to feeling service by implementing prayer into our service. So, who else did not give a comment? Yeah?
It was also nice to hear that Krishna takes our service even if we have not the right intention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Our intention is maybe not always so pure.
Yeah.
Still, he's accepting and then we can develop.
He's so kind. So very kind. He's, even if we are not so good, but we just try to give some service, he will accept that. And then we just become purified and then our intention is moving, slowly becoming purified. Yeah. Sometimes one needs to contemplate how kind is Krishna. That we are serving Krishna, but sometimes we are not so much thinking of his quality, of who is he and how is he. And when we think of how kind he is, and also next week there is really such amazing amount of mercy that Krishna is giving to Putana. So some very nice things will be on that. But that's also a very nice subject of discussion between devotees. When we associate with each other, when we are in each other, that we discuss about how much Krishna is merciful with you. How did Krishna show mercy to you? And to exchange on that level. And many times there are like amazing things that come up that we remember once something terrible had happened and we felt how Krishna was there to protect us. And it's very nice to meditate of how Krishna is protecting his devotees. How kind he is. How kind he is to accept our service. Remember in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I had a very strong experience. I was chanting japa in Geneva. I was in a park. It was becoming night. I was just under a tree chanting japa. And suddenly 10 punks started to walk right in my direction. And I was there. 10 punks started to walk in my direction. And I was there chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And they are coming closer and closer, and then I just closed my eyes and I just took like full shelter. Like I was really taking shelter like anything. And they just passed next to me and they went. But just by this taking shelter, this after that, maybe for 1 hour, I just could not forget Krishna. I was just like completely Krishna conscious. that I don't know if I experience that again later in my spiritual life. I don't think, because it was really a special mercy. Krishna was so satisfied I had taken shelter so much, so strongly in him, that it just gave me like such a strong spiritual experience. So we all have spiritual experience as we are practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's very nice to, I heard once, to string them like flowers, and to make a garland of flowers with all those spiritual experience, all those times Krishna reciprocated with us, and then to wear that garland all the time. And then when we are with devotee, we can share those beautiful experiences, giving face, is giving enliven us. Very nice to remember those. So who else did not speak? No, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to force you to speak, but that's your last chance. If any one of you wants still to, just something you remember. Something you already said. We will hear also from others.
I would like to say, for example, although this, I mean, I think many people already said or Gita, you know, points more closer to what Krishna did to everyone. So imagine the story within the story that you told about in Gita, one of the persons went to this particular chanti, and then this woman gave when the ash.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Even that kind of creates a bit of kindness. It's something, you know, people, especially in this modern world, think about being kind to everyone. That is a very nice thing to remember.
Yeah.
Even in small things.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Because it's a very simple thing, and then it will never be forgotten.
Yeah, one, I have to start somewhere, so let's start wherever we can, in whatever small kindness we can give to others, and then it will just slowly increase. Okay. So I think we will end here. I think it's always nice to end with a little bhajan. I mean, for those of you who are a little bit in a hurry or have other things, please just feel free to go. And for the other, I think we can chant for 10 minutes or so. And while we chant, we are all invited to go again through. While we chant, go again through the pastime. How did it start? Oh yes, Nanda Maharaj was going to Mathura to speak with Vasudev. Just go in your mind through the pastime, whatever you remember, and hear the name also when we do bhajan. But the idea is that we keep the impression of the lila in our heart, and sometimes some nice remembrance might come up. So we will put the light a little lower and turn toward Jagannath. Our dear Jagannath.